The building shuddered and rumbled as its bowels were excavated to create a gym, swimming pool, and cinema in which the tycoon could watch his pornographic films. This was happening throughout the neighborhood. Blomfield Mansions, where Buffy lived, was a block of flats on the Edgware Road. Behind it lay Little Venice. To the front, St. John's Wood. Both areas housed the super-rich and perennially absent, away on their yachts or drilling in the Arctic or whatever they did. They left their neighbours to suffer the major refurbishments to which they subjected their property investments. Buffy walked his dog through a babel of East European voices, past hammerings and bangings and double-parked cement mixers, past signs telling him hard hats must be worn. The old neighbourhood had vanished, and even his local boozer, still relatively unscathed, now served blithering Thai food, assembled in an industrial unit in Park Royal and boiled in a bag. The Scotch egg was finally extinct. Some people, of course, would say high time, too. Buffy tore open a packet of biscuits. His daughter, Nyangi, was coming to tea. She was bound to be late. She had caught it from her mother, a Ghanaian dancer with whom Buffy had had a brief fling when he could still struggle into and out of 32-inch trousers. Sauntering in after he had given up hope, Nyangi would explain her tardiness as AMT, African Mean Time. Something about her breeziness implied that it was his problem, that punctuality was some vague relic of colonial oppression and plunder. It was his hours she had stolen, of course, but Buffy didn't have the heart to tell her. Nyangi was indeed an hour late, but this time she had an excuse. "I can't find a fucking parking space," her voice crackled on the intercom. She turned aside to bellow at a parking warden. "Piss off, I'm coming!" In the end, Buffy had to admit defeat and bring the tea out to his daughter's car. They sat there, tray jammed on his knee, the plate of biscuits on the dashboard. This wasn't the first time he'd had to leave his flat empty and entertain his guest in some freezing Honda Civic out in the street. "Sorry about this," he said. "I'd even cleaned up the place in your honour. I'd even laid the table." "Bloody parking warden vultures." "London sucks," said Nyangi. "Kid got shot in my local offie last week." They were parked on a double yellow line, jammed between a delivery lorry and a large 4x4 with tinted windows. One of the windows slid open, and a hand flung out an empty Badoit bottle. Buffy sighed. These used to be proper shops. Butcher, greengrocer. He pointed to a Snappy Snaps and a Foxton estate agent's, ha ha, empty of customers. Oh, the good old days. "Have a hobnob." A traffic warden appeared. Nyangi cursed. Tea slopping, she jerked into gear and drove round the block, past idling lorries and skips full of rubble. "Still," said Buffy, "when a man's tired of London..." He stopped. Nyangi wouldn't know about Dr. Johnson. Besides, he wasn't quite sure of its truth anymore. What was wrong with tiring of London? Everything about it was conspiring to get on his nerves. He had a vision of himself in a cottage garden, a grizzled patriarch in a Panama hat, his grandchildren bringing him jam jars full of tadpoles. Nyangi came to a shuddering halt at a bus stop, the only available parking space. The biscuits slid off the dashboard. "This is ridiculous," she snapped. Nyangi was a feisty young woman. Not young, actually, almost middle-aged. He had middle-aged children. The thought always gave Buffy a jolt. Today she was looking startlingly businesslike. The last time they met, her hair was braided with tiny beads and buttons. Today it was cut into a Louise Brooks bob and gleamed with lacquer. Perhaps it was a wig. He resisted the urge to touch it like an elderly perv. On the other hand, he was her father. The trouble was that contact in the past had been somewhat intermittent. He remembered a low-key Christmas with Nyangi and her mother, two comely near strangers in a shawl-festooned room in Deptford. They had grudgingly cooked him a pheasant portion. They were both vegetarians, and he had broken his tooth on a shotgun pellet. "So how are you?" she asked. "It's been ages. I was in the district." "Actually, a dear friend of mine has just died," he said. "I suppose they're all doing that." "Hang on, I'm only 70, it's the new 40. Behind them a bus honked. People shuffling past to board it glared into the car. Nyangi pulled away, drove round the corner, and double-parked behind a Tesco's van. "You shop, we drop." "One of your old actors?" "A theatrical landlady," said Buffy. "I used to stay with her in the glory days of Rep. She moved to Wales a few years ago and started a B&B. Put like this, it sounded so bald. But why should Nyangi be interested? He suddenly felt lonely in a cramped, cluttered car, in a world with no bridey in it.